Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Crick Blog podcast, our first episode for 2024. Really happy to be back. Really looking forward to a big year ahead. Charbel here from Crick Blog, Australia fan, joined as always by my co-host Nash, India fan and Mumbai Indians fan. And we're going to talk about the IPL in this podcast. But Nash, how's things, mate?
Yeah, things have been good. Melbourne is into its winter now, so getting a bit of windy weather and wet weather over the last few days, but it's been yep. good. Looking forward to discussing IPL with you over the next couple of months, and then that will lead us into the World Cup, the T20 World Cup, which is always the big talking point for everyone, and lots of exciting things to come from this IPL episode and the future episodes as well. How have you been?
I've been good, mate. We had a pretty cold day today with rain and wind as well. And last Friday, there was bucket loads of rain. So, yeah, we're getting ready for the winter months. Yeah, been good. Had a second baby
about 5 weeks ago. Yes, congratulations for that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's been all hands on deck, very busy, but been good. She's a better sleeper than our first. That's always handy. But that means I don't watch as much IPL during the night, still following it very closely. And that's what we'll talk about today. The first couple of weeks of the tournament, just right off the bat, the teams that have impressed you the most, Nash, and we'll probably delve into those a little bit. And also the teams that have disappointed you, maybe including your Mumbai Indians as well. But we'll start with the teams that have impressed you. What do you reckon? Rajasthan Royals there?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they have started really well, winning 4 out of 4. They are right at the top. It's going to be really difficult because they have won 4 out of 4, and then the table is very equal after that. KKR, Lucknow Super Giants, who we'll talk about Mayank Yadav as well. And who has been the talk of the town for this year's IPL. So, yes, Rajasthan have impressed me. We'll talk more in detail about what they are doing right and how, you know, they could sort of keep that momentum going. But
yeah,
tell me about you. Are you impressed by Rajasthan? What else? Which other team do you think has the sort of the pedigree to go all the way?
Definitely, Rajasthan have impressed me. I've been impressed also with KKR. I think sort of the reason why I picked them before the tournament to make the playoffs was I think the influence of Gautam Gambhir back at the franchise, this time as a coach. They've been very powerful, very strong. I know they had a loss yesterday in Chennai, but that happens. I think Lucknow was, you know, they weren't in my top four. I had Rajasthan, Kolkata, Chennai and Mumbai Indians in my top four, but Lucknow was very close, and they're showing why that they're a contender, not only for playoffs, but to cause some problems at the back end of the year. And Mayank Yadav has been a wonderful addition for them. And Chennai, very good at home, probably got to sort out their away form, which they probably can later in the season as well. So I think they're the teams that have impressed me. I think Rajasthan look really, really strong. And the thing with them is that Jaiswal has not got going.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if he gets going and sort of starts finding those runs as well? They're going to be even better. But they look a very well-rounded team, and they've got the balance of their team right with Riyan Parag at 4. I think they watched the side Mushtaq Ali trophy very closely last season. He got the most runs in that tournament, and he was batting at number 4. That's his position. Yep. He finally got that right. Sort of released Devdutt Padikkal. It wasn't working for them in that position last year. Put Parag in, and that's added another dimension to their team.
Absolutely. And look, I think he's got a 40, he's got a 60, I think. You know, he's done well at number 4, which is a key position in any
it
format.
Is.
And
it is.
Yes, you're right. Jaiswal hasn't fired, and there's still a few games to go for him as well to make that cut to the Indian national team as well for the T20. So I think he'll be eyeing that this IPL to get into that rhythm and to get into the mold for the Indian T20 side. So,
yep,
having Josh Butler firing up with 100 as well, that has helped Rajasthan a lot.
Big time.
They have played as one unit. And to be honest, look, I think having Ashwin and Chahal in your spin department, at some stage it gets criminal.
it's
You
true.
shouldn't be
So
allowed to
spoiled.
have that.
I think they got them together for cheap, remember, in the
I think
auction
it
a
was
couple
like 12 or
more.
13 crores or something.
That's a steal. Yeah.
It is because look, I think you have Trent Bolt at the top, and Ashwin and Chahal as your spinners. I think that's a power pack bowling
Yep.
department, let alone only the spin department. You got Bolt coming in at the top. They might go for runs here and there, but I think they've done the hard yards in the first four games. I think they've let the runs go away as well with like RCB. Virat Kohli scored a wonderful 100, but they've chased that down. They've restricted MI to a low score. So both batting and bowling has fire for them, and they'll definitely hope to keep that going during the rest of the tournament.
They've been good with their retentions and recruitment the last couple of seasons, I think. And Nandre Berger from South Africa coming in and making an impact. And I think Sandeep Sharma before, I think he's got a bit of an injury at the moment, but he was bowling beautifully at the start of the season. They look a really well-rounded team. The thing with Rajasthan is they started promising last season as well. Not as good as this, but they fell away really badly. So the challenge for them is to produce a campaign right the way through, be consistent. That's the
Absolutely.
test. That's the
Absolutely.
test.
Talking about the second team that was on your
Yeah.
radar for the playoffs, KKR, what do you make of them? They've put up a big score a few times this season. They've put up a couple of 200s. They've chased, they've lost a game against CSK, but they've chased a good target, in the 180s. So it's a mixed bag. They've lost only one, but where do you see them going?
Very, very good on flat pitches with the bat, dynamite batting lineup. The big question that we sort of saw yesterday in Chennai is, they're going to be faced with slower pitches, and how do they adjust to that? Sonu Narine has wound back the clock this season. Andre Russell has, in a way, as well. The power is there, but when the pitches are slow, can they adjust their tactics accordingly? Because they've got two good spinners in their own lineup as well. But
Absolutely.
that's going to be the question for them, I think, whether there's enough, of an ability in a way to both mentally and in execution to just adjust to those conditions, because you're not going to get flat pitches every game. So that's going to be the thing that they've got to look at. Another thing they want to get right is the form of Mitch Stark, 24 crore, taken, well, he's gone
I
wicketless
was
three of the
uh, I
four
was going
games and been
to uh, yeah,
expensive.
I was going to come to that question. Is Stark is the costliest player in the IPL, coming back after what, 9 years, made a name for himself early on, but as in early back in 2014, 15 when he last played. But everyone kept saying that it's too much money for Stark. He's not that kind of a bowler in T20s as he's in one day international, or maybe even like 2013 T20 Stark. If you think about it, he was never that great in T20s in general. He has put in some performances, but if you think about T20 bowling, you don't have Stark on the top of your mind
No,
straight
I don't
away.
think
So
so. I think you're right with that. He hasn't quite nailed it like ODI cricket, 50 over cricket. That's been the format.
Absolutely. And with KKR, what it is I think with their batting, they've got the classic T20 unit with Phil Salt at the top, with the youngster Ankush Raghuwanshi coming in as well. You obviously got Sunil Narine, who is very, very experienced. You got someone like a Venkatesh Iyer who can bat and bowl. Rinku Singh, he's in contention for the Indian national T20 side as well. You got
Rinku Singh
Andre
and Andre
Russell,
Russell as
absolutely. You got
finishers. Ooh,
Warren Chakravarty, who's had international experience as well. So it's all in all, I would say a well-balanced side. If they get that Stark sort of tactic fixed in and locked in for the longer period, I think they could be very well into the playoffs and even go all the
They
way.
could be. They could be. They've got that potential. They've got the power. They've got the balance. But yeah, it's about being consistent now this middle part of the year, part of the season, because you've lost the game. So how are you going to respond to that? That's going to be a big question for them, because KKR over the last few seasons, they can go on really bad runs. They've shown that's been a problem for them the past few years, why they haven't qualified for the playoffs. I think they've missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. The
And
reason why is they go on runs where they lose 4 or 5 games in a row. They can't be doing that again.
look, that's what I love about these long seasons. I mean, it's not like a Premier League season where it's 9 months, but it, 14 games is a long season. When it comes to T20 cricket, because like Rajasthan, you can start with 4 games, 4 wins out of 4 games, and then go on to lose the next 5 or 4 and have a really bad run, and then end up nowhere near the playoffs. So. Whereas you could have a season like Mumbai Indians, traditionally they are slow starters. They lose first 3 matches, 4 matches, and then have a blinder and win the cup. So it's really key to keep that momentum going. Even if when you lose a game here and there, I think you shouldn't let yourself affect too much with that loss, and just fix what's
I
gone
agree.
wrong and make sure you're doing the key things right, and then just
Great.
focus on playing basic simple cricket.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. And that's going to be the key for KKR. Onto Lucknow. They've been very solid. I think the emergence of some of their quick bowlers, Yash Thakur, a great 5 wicket haul in the last game against Gujarat. And you've got the other Mayank Yadav as well. I'm not sure about his injury. I think he's got a bit of an injury at the moment. So hopefully that's not too serious. And they say, what, you'll miss a week, but we've heard of these things before where a week turns into, what, 3 months or something. So hopefully it's nothing serious. But that's been the thing with Lucknow. They've been really efficient. I think they're just been maybe a bit under the radar, maybe not as hot as the Rajasthan Royals and the Kolkata, but they're right there in amongst them. What is your assessment on them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they fly a bit under the radar. And I think that's how they like it, to be honest. They would prefer that because other teams might not see them as a threat, and they can just pounce on you with their fast bowling, with their batting lineup as well. They've got Quinton de Kock, they've got KL Rahul at the top, they've got Deepak Hooda, Nicholas Puran and Marcus Stoinis in the middle. So it's a good side. I wouldn't say it's a greatly experienced side, but when you've got someone like Quinton de Kock and KL Rahul at the top, I think that can set the
Well,
tone very well.
I'd say it is an experienced batting lineup. The
Yeah,
Kock,
but
Rahul,
when you
Stoinis,
got
Puran.
Padikkal and Badoni coming in at 3 and 4, you sort of lose
True.
that, maybe lose that experience in there. And yes, Deepak Hooda is experienced as well, but he's not experienced, let's say, as Marcus Stoinis or Quinton de Kock.
Interesting the combination there, because you're right, Padikkal and Badoni are, on the inexperienced side, so you probably wouldn't bat them together at any one stage in a match. So you probably put Stoinis in or Puran in, depending on who's in time. But yeah, but I think they've been pretty good so far on the Justin Langer so far, and they look good. I think at home, similar to Chennai, I think slow conditions at Lucknow, they'll make it difficult for teams. They're so good. What I like about Lucknow is, contrary to a lot of other teams who like to chase scores, these guys are brilliant defending scores. So I think they've won 15 of 18 in the IPL since they were formed, bowling first. When they bowled first, they won 15 of the 18 games. That's an unbelievable record when you look at the dominance of chasing teams in IPL cricket. Something like that in pressure games back into the year, if you're there and thereabouts in the playoffs and the final, and you're able to defend totals with some good bowlers in that lineup, anything's possible, man.
Absolutely, especially pitches like India, where you can score a big score. Teams usually go for bat first, put a big score on, and then defend. But yeah, when it comes to Lucknow, they've got a good bowling lineup as well, because you got a spinner like Ravi Bishnoi, who is also I've said this twice already for the first two teams, but he's also in contention for that T20
There's
was
a
up
lot
for
of
spot.
spots up for
So,
grabs, yeah.
he's playing for that as well. So he's got a lot to prove as well. So, a bowler like him who can dart the ball, who can spin the ball, it becomes really key when you're defending a total.
Absolutely. And you got players like Krunal Pandya who can deliver when needed. But that's the thing, right? Yeah. Teams probably in a sense in T20s have lost the art of defending totals. I know there's a lot of factors to that, due and powerful batting lineups, etc. But Lucknow are very good in that regard. On to Chennai. They round out the top four at the moment after they've played five games now,
Yes.
three wins and two losses, all three wins at home, two away. That's probably one concern I had about Chennai coming into the season is how they're going to perform away from home. It's going to be a question for them to get right later in the season. But at home, that the first slow pitch at Chepauk this season, and they dominated KKR. What's impressed me about them, I don't know if you agree, because this guy's a contender for the T20 World Cup team for India as well, Shivam Dubey. Expect some slow pitches over there in the West Indies and USA. Spin's going to play a key role. He's a brilliant spin hitter.
He
What do you
is,
reckon?
and absolutely you're right. But my only bone with him is that it's his footwork. It's how India use him. If India use him purely as a finisher in the last five overs, that could be a potential spot for him. But if they are looking at him to play
You
the
wouldn't
long
use him
innings.
as a spin hitter in the middle. It doesn't have to be a long innings he has to play. It could be an impactful one in the middle because that's where India, I think, have fallen short in big tournaments, particularly in T20. They're a bit too conservative, maybe up front and in the middle, where you can have a guy like this who can go hard for a few overs there and put the pressure back on the opponents.
And that could be a potential spot for him as well, because in those middle overs just after the power play from over 7 to maybe 15 as well. But it depends how other bowlers, how other teams counter that. Other team coaches and other teams will be looking closely at Shivam Dubey as well. What are his weaknesses? How does he counter the slower bouncer and how does he count the bouncer in general, the short ball in general? So it's going to be really interesting. He is definitely in contention with the performances that he has put in. There's lots of spots up for grabs for that Indian T20 international and for other teams as well, to be honest. So with Chennai, coming back to Chennai, I think it's a classic story, isn't it? They are I can't remember. I may be wrong. And people might listen to this and say, but I can't remember them absolutely dominating the group stage ever. Like winning 6, 7 out of 7 or winning 8 out of 8, and they're always, there and thereabouts. And that's the beautiful thing about Chennai is, they might lose a couple here and there, even might give you a sniff in a close game, but they're always back themselves to perform in crunch situations, and that's why they are one of the most successful teams.
I mean, Mustafa Zahraman has come in, he's made an impact. They just got this ability to get the best out of players you thought probably don't have the same impact as they once did, but that's what they do. Just a quick word on Ruturaj Gaikwad's form. Do you think he's batting with enough intent? I know there's some debates going on about that, and I'm sure we'll touch on Virat Kohli and the debate around him later in this pod. But in terms of Gaikwad, would you?
I've got a very different opinion on Virat Kohli, which you obviously know, so I might be biased. But I think with intent, I don't know what it is about Indian players and when they get that captaincy. Same thing happened with Hardik Pandya as well. I think I don't know
Rahul, he's had
what it
that.
is, a mental block or something, but
Maybe it's just the thing of, oh, I've got added responsibility now, I've got to bat through. It's an interesting thing you say there. I think that you're onto something.
because I think and when it comes to teams, we never know what happens on the inside, so we never know what the plans are. And for them, I think they might be playing to their plan, to the performing to the T. So it's always a really interesting outlook that fans have us we have on when it comes to like batting in T20 cricket, because there are experts out there, so-called experts out there, who just bash everything and anything you see. And there are others who say, no, you need one batter to play the entire 20 overs, which is what I personally believe as well. So, there's no point just bashing and going for everything and end up scoring 70 rather than having a chance to score 150 and giving yourself your ball is something to bowl at. So
Yeah,
it's really
makes sense.
interesting. And but when it comes to intent, I've heard that word so much in the last
Oh,
3 years, and
buzzword.
it's definitely buzzword, but it is certainly interesting. With Chennai, I think we've heard the word intent so much, and moving on to the other teams which haven't shown any intent at all. The more one of the most disappointing teams, or a couple of disappointing teams for me personally, obviously as a Mumbai fan, they have been disappointing. But like I said at the start, slow starters can get really into it at the end of the tournament. But again, Mumbai and RCB for me have been personally really disappointing. What do you make of the disappointing teams on the bottom end of the table?
I'll have those two, and I definitely have Delhi Capitals there as well. They've conceded over 500 runs in their last two games. I know, like, they've got some holes in their team, and I didn't expect them to have a great season, but not 500 runs in two games. Like, Nokia, a few seasons ago, he was one of the premier bowlers or one of the top bowlers in the IPL. I thought when, I think around the years 2020, 2021, he was an excellent option, but he's been hit for 20 in an over, I think, four separate times this season, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw something like that. And yeah, they're definitely a disappointment. Mumbai, for me, I know they start slowly very often, but this season has felt a bit different for me. It seemed very distracted with the
Yes.
news of the captaincy and Rohit's role in the field and role, and what fans believe, what they feel there's an injustice towards Rohit, and it wasn't the right decision, and it wasn't communicated properly, and it wasn't a proper thank you to Rohit, and lots of booing for Hardik Pandya and all that sort of stuff. And whether that's seeped into the dressing room, as you mentioned before, we don't know exactly what goes on, but it just seemed those first three games especially that there was a real sense of distraction from the team, and they weren't doing the little things right that typically Mumbai Indians do well. But they got a win on the board against Delhi in the last game. Big score on the board in that game. Bowling still left a bit to be desired, apart from Jasprit Bumrah. What a bowler he is, man. As long as you've got him in your side, you're a chance. But they've got to start really performing well as a team and putting some wins together, because this time around, it's 10 teams, right? You got 10 teams, four spots. If you start too slowly, it might be too hard to catch up. So that win on the board against Delhi was big. And then
Absolutely.
hopefully for them as well, Surya Kumar Yadav, he just come back, didn't score in his first game, but hopefully he gets into some rhythm soon for the Mumbai Indians.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think the whole captaincy saga does play a bit of a role on the mental side of
Think it was
things.
handled very well, personally. I don't think it was handled well. I don't know what you think, but
Look, I think
I just.
for all we know, what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. So there, for all we know, there might have been a perfect transition behind closed doors from Rohit Sharma to Hardik Pandya. We don't know. But what I'm saying is that whole how it played in the media, yes, it wasn't handled well from a PR point of view, from a media point of view. And
Exactly.
that left a bad taste in for the fans. And yes, Rohit Sharma has given a lot to the franchise, to the club over the years, five trophies. And it felt like there's groups forming in the team. And from Roy after Rohit Sharma personally, it should have been Surya Kumar Yadav who gets the captaincy. Or maybe even Bumrah as well, who's been a loyal servant to the club as well. So it's a real hard basket. But well, come on, when it comes to playing on the field, I think each one of those players is a star player. Tim David
It's a
coming to the party
wonderful
last
team.
game, Romario Shepherd coming to the party. We haven't seen Surya Kumar Yadav fire yet. Even Tilak Varma hasn't fired so far. So Rohit Sharma with his, again, with his 40s. What a story that is, Rohit Sharma at 40. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this win, what this win does for Mumbai Indians and their morale going forward. But as you said, yes, it is 10 teams. They have to keep it going.
Yeah, and look, I agree with you around the whole captaincy thing. It could have been handled better. I just felt it happened so quickly, happened almost overnight. And this is a guy that's won you five titles and he's given so much of the franchise. A little bit more could have been done in terms of even social media stuff and all that sort of stuff, just to keep the fans on side because there's been a lot of noise. I think that's been an issue for Mumbai. But as you said, the next game is going to be vital for them. I've touched on Delhi. Their bowling is just. I mean, got some good bowlers in that side. Kuldeep's been injured. That's been a big problem, though. Having him, he's been bowling brilliantly in the last few seasons. All over the place. A net run rate at the moment of minus 1.37. I'd put a line through them now, even though, you got some talent there, interest in Stubbs, etc. There's just not enough going for them to make a run to the playoffs with the teams that are there. And another team that disappointed me a lot is RCB, but not too surprising, I must say. The reason why I say that is it's a very good batting lineup on paper, although it's only been one player who's performed consistently. But I looked at that bowling attack before the start of the season. I said, there's no way you can defend scores at the Chinnaswamy or restrict teams at Chinnaswamy or anywhere for that matter with an attack that looks so imbalanced, with a team that looks so imbalanced. What do you think? Am I
Yeah, I
being too
mean,
harsh or?
after the discourse on social media after their game against Rajasthan and the way Kohli played, apparently, I'll paint you a picture. I was thinking about this, and I'll paint you a quick picture. Imagine if I come to you as a us discussing cricket and told you, hey, this, let's say, XYZ team. I don't tell you who that is. XYZ team. The player A scored 113 from 72 balls in a T20 international opening. The next player scored 44 of 33. The next player after that, who is supposed to be one of the best players, hard hitters of the ball, scored one from three balls. And then you have a star all-rounder from Australia, young all-rounder who scored five from six balls, not out. You would think, okay, there's something wrong. The guy at the top is only the one performing, and then the next four are just there for the ride. And it was the other way around, apparently, on social media. The guy at the top was getting demolished for scoring 113 out of 72. But this whole discourse around the balls that are lost don't come back is, I think it's just baffling to me, because if Virat Kohli doesn't stay until the end, doesn't score that 113 out of 72 balls, it's a lost cause. I mean, yes, they did lose the game, but
There would
they
have been no chance.
absolutely no chance. And then you would think after scoring 183, you would back your bowlers to defend, but
Well, that's the thing as well. I
it's
think subconsciously people think that in the back of my mind, people think that RCB's bowling is not that great. They need 200 plus all the time. So they
see
look
you've
at
you've
someone who's not.
So you've they've
So
just
someone
given up on
says,
their bowling already.
well, that's what I think subconsciously people think that. That's my opinion. People think that RCB don't have the bowling, it's onto the batting. You have to strike at 160 minimum and just go nuts. But the
But
thing is with
and
Virat
that's the
is.
thing about cricket, is you have to understand that every day is a different day. Every day Virat Kohli is not going to score 100. Every day it's not
Well,
going
yeah,
to be
absolutely. And he didn't
82 out
score
of
100.
58 at the
And I think he
MCGs.
got out relatively early. Which game was it? They lost, I think it was to KKR.
Yes. Yeah. No, KKR, he scored a 83.
Which
I
team
think
was it
he I think
against? It was
he
at the Chinnaswamy. They were chasing the score.
it was Lucknow. He was it was versus Lucknow. He scored a 22 out of
Yes.
16.
Yes, so he was out pretty early. Where's the rest of the team then to perform? There's no one else performing, putting their hand up in that team. So I get the notion. I can understand the view that maybe at certain stages of his innings as he gets in, he can probably push on a bit quicker in the middle overs back end. Okay. But in terms of piling it on Virat when no one else is delivering,
I
no one
mean,
else is delivering.
the guy's got 250s and 100 from five games. I mean, there's not much he can do if
No,
anyone else is playing.
he's setting up your platforms at the top. It's down to the others to show something. And the thing with RCB as well, they've completely mucked up their auction strategy and their trade strategy before the tournament, in my opinion. So I did a reaction video when Cameron Green was traded in. I said, look, the guy as a player is a good player. He can deliver some value for you. But what does that mean for the rest of your squad? You haven't left anything for your bowling attack in terms of investment. Then you've put 11 crore in Alzari Joseph. That hasn't worked so far. So then you probably look at RCB's bowling attack and say you probably need two overseas seamers to have a decent bowling attack. But you've got Faf, Virat, and Cameron Green. And you're not even making room for Will Jacks as well, not even giving him a chance. So why invest 17 crore in Cameron Green when you've got Will Jacks there as well
Yeah,
and you've got issues with your bowling? Those are the big issues for RCB, not Virat
I think
Kohli.
RCB just buys players so other teams won't buy players. I think it might be like, yeah, let's just do it so that we don't have to play against them.
But the bowlers they've released in recent seasons as well, Hasaranga and Chahal and these guys, they had some good bowlers in their ranks over the last few seasons, but they haven't really been able to build on that. And when they did well, it was in the UAE. They just have not done well since coming back to the Chinnaswamy. It's not a home ground, it's not a fortress for them. I
I
don't know
think
if in future seasons they change their strategy and go to a turning pitch or something like that and just start something different in the future. I don't know. Don't know
mean
what it
it,
is.
personally, I would say it is a massive credit to a person like Virat Kohli who stayed with the team for 15 years, 16 years
On
after what's been going on. I mean, the bowling's a mess, the middle order is a mess. You know, there's the guy literally had a 961 season and still didn't end up on the winning side. So you can just imagine what's going on in his mind. Yeah, I mean, RCB, Delhi and Mumbai share the same story at this stage of the game. You've already written off Delhi Capitals. You don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think the same. I still have hope for RCB and Mumbai Indians. You know, call me a fanboy or anything, but
hope for Mumbai. Look, I hope for Mumbai. They can do it. Don't know about RCB.
I think with
It's
that
hard to
bowling
tell.
lineup, it's actually mind blowing that RCB are actually above Delhi Capitals. So
Look,
it's
to their
going.
credit, I think Yash Dayal has done better than I thought he would so far. He's had some decent little performances there. But they're just, again, as a unit, there's not enough going in their spin department as well. I think they're behind the eight ball when he spinners in terms of experience and compared to other teams.
I mean, they're more experienced. The most experienced spinner they have is Glenn Maxwell and Karan Sharma. To be fair, Karan Sharma is not your, you know, he's not a youngster. He's a veteran, and he's played a lot of cricket. But he has played international test matches, domestic. You would think he would be the one they're counting to contribute, but
I don't know.
they also have Suraj. I mean, the guys, I don't know. I love him in red ball cricket.
Suraj, yeah, he's
I
quite
love
good
him in
one.
50 overs as well, but his T20 bowling just doesn't inspire me.
It hasn't cut the mustard, has it? And they need him to deliver because they need some inroads in power play, desperately,
Absolutely.
desperately. And
Absolutely.
whether they keep Cameron Green there, or look to go play two overseas fast bowlers, so Rhys Topley and Lachie Ferguson, it gives that bowling attack a bit more of a meat to it. It's got a little bit more to it. Maybe that's what I'll go with. That's how I like Cameron Green. Everyone knows that I'm a big fan of his, and but 17 crore, I think that's stuffed the balance of the team.
Absolutely. That could be enough to buy a good land in West Australia when he comes back, but
Now look, one of the arguments for Cameron Green was he's a long-term option. So when Faf goes, they can keep Cameron Green there. But it wouldn't surprise me if
I
they
mean,
release
if you talk about
Maxi.
IPL, there's no long-term options aside from Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma, to be honest.
Jasprit, these guys. But yeah, like I thought, look, Faf du Plessis is 39 and he probably won't be there next season, etc. So Cameron Green can then move to opener. But you have to keep him now if that's the plan. Imagine releasing him, then you've hurt a season, you've hurt the balance of your team for a season. What? For nothing. So
Don't say you might not be there next year. That's what we have been saying about MS Dhoni as well for the last 5 years. So you never know. You never know. That's what we have been saying about James Anderson for the last 5 years. You never know. But
That's
yeah,
true.
I think with the mid-table teams,
There's three teams on four now.
the Chelsea and Manchester United of IPL.
Wouldn't be that hard. Those two are woeful.
Well, Sunrisers Hyderabad and Punjab Kings. Pat Cummins,
Good draft on four as well.
good jersey. I like the jersey. I like the jersey. Sunrisers Hyderabad. I know everyone's the jury's still out. Everyone has a different opinion. I quite like the jersey.
Maybe a bit busy, but it's all right. I think they've got a little bit more going for them than the jersey alone.
Yeah. What do you make of
There's a
their
lot of
season so far, quickly?
There's a lot of power in that lineup. Very good at home, two wins at home, but I think they're away at Punjab tonight. That's a big game. So both those teams, 4 points, 15-6 respectively. So a win, you go into the top four. If you get enough net run rate, but to go level with those three teams that are on six, that's a big, big game. So how well Sunrisers Hyderabad and Punjab. The issue for me with those two teams, why I had them missing the playoffs, is just consistency. It's like they could produce a game, then they could produce a poor one the next game. They can't string a
Absolutely.
lot of wins. That's particularly the case with Punjab. They don't win consecutive games. They don't do it very often. You look at the last 5 years, 6 years, they'll win one, they'll lose one, they'll lose two, then they'll win another one. And you know what I mean? They don't lose too many in a row, but they never win enough in a row as well. So that's going to be the big challenge for those two teams now. But I like, the Shashank Redemption. That's been fantastic. His fantastic performance from him. I remember watching the auction when they bought him.
I
He tried to
it's
reverse it.
it's yeah you no one will ever know whether they've bought the right one or not.
Yeah, no one will ever know. They say they did, but I'm not sure about it. But we'll take their word for it. But he performed brilliantly.
Well,
So
he's performing, so
there's
absolutely.
some things
And
going for both those teams.
they'll think Pat Cummins would come good as well with the amount of money that they've given him.
That's the thing as well. Like, it's a risk because he's won the World Cup for Australia in India. Let's just put him as captain. He's done a good job
And
so
he's
far.
Australian. And he's Australian.
And he's Australian. Australians win. And, let's just put him as captain. And yeah, let's just hope for the best.
I was just
It could
baffled when
work.
they put him as captain. I was just like, what?
Me
Why?
too. I was baffled as well. You don't know whether that'll come off or not. We'll just have to wait and see. But the reasoning behind it, I think, we won World Cup last year. Let's put him in. Gujarat Titans, I think they're missing Mohammad Shami. That's a massive loss. Hardik Pandya was a great captain for them, I think, the first two seasons, and he was very good with the bat as well, and offered stuff with the ball, as we know. But yeah, this season, I think it's going to be tough without Shami. Don't know what you think, if you feel the same way.
And I think it's going to be interesting because Shami, we don't know if he'll be ready for the T20 International, the World Cup as well. So it's going to be really crucial for all the fast bowlers that are still in contention, that want to get into contention. Like, they have to keep performing on a consistent basis. So
Yeah, the likes of Ashdeep Singh and these guys.
And Ashdeep Singh has, fallen out of contention. He's barred on the pecking line now, and
He's not quite the same as what he was a couple of years
exactly.
ago. So he's got to rediscover that form. You're right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's still quite a long way to go, and we'll be here doing this again in a 4 2 week in 2 weeks' time. By then, each team would have played around 8 9 games, so we'll be well into the season. We might know our bottom team. We might know our top four teams, or at least top two teams. Really looking forward to doing this again. Yeah, it's been really lovely.
Thanks. And to the listeners, to the followers, we'll be putting the full episodes on YouTube as well as shorts and snippets from the podcast. So CrickBlog TV is where you can find us on YouTube, at CrickBlog Pod on Instagram and Twitter as well. So we'll be posting content throughout the fortnight of our discussion here today. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Nash. Thanks, everyone. Have a
Thank
great
you.
week ahead.